This is Leo Babeu for KTWH, and today I am having a conversation with Paula Maccabee. She's legal counsel for the Citizens Environmental Advocacy Group, Water Legacy. Paula presented the case in their legal action before the Minnesota Court of Appeals on November 13th, and this is what it says. It says, in the matter of the determination of need for an environmental impact statement for the Milepost 7 West Ridge Railroad relocation, dam extensions, and stream mitigation project in Lake County, Minnesota. Well, I hope to unpack what all that refers to today with Paula's help. Thanks for joining us here today on KTWH, Paula.
Thank you so much, Leo, for having me. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
I appreciate that you had to present an argument to the Minnesota Court of Appeals back on November 13th. We're almost a month out from that. I think you can confirm for me you're seeking a ruling that would require either an environmental impact statement or is it possibly a supplemental environmental impact statement on this proposed project, one that would enlarge the tailings basin, raise the dam heights, and relocate a mine railway line at Milepost 7 tailings basin operation located inland from Silver Bay and Beaver Bay, just 3 miles from Lake Superior. Is that the gist of what happened on November 13th?
That is exactly correct. Water Legacy is seeking an environmental impact statement to get a full disclosure of what the impacts would be if the Milepost 7 tailings dam were to fail, because it is immediately above the Beaver River, Beaver Bay, and Silver Bay, and very close to Lake Superior. 3 miles is a very short distance. When other dams, similar dams, have failed in South America, the plume of contaminated water and the flood of contaminated mud went as far as 400 miles. So this is a really close proximity, not just of a very important water body, but of community residents and businesses and people who come for recreation.
I think it's important to bear that in mind. You mentioned what happened in other dam failures elsewhere in the world. I think I read in a brief document that one party has projected something like a 28-foot wall of water moving down the Beaver River Valley at 20 miles per hour towards the lake would be the result of a dam failure here?
It's very interesting because the last information in this record of what the harm would be of a dam failure is from the document you cite, Leo, which was from 1975. At that time, the science wasn't even available to realize how much of the contaminated mud in a tailings basin would be mobilized and would crush the surrounding or the downstream area as well as the water. And so, in fact, as a result of what we know about the science and as a result of the changes in the Milepost 7 tailings dam since 1975, the failure of the Milepost 7 dam would have even more catastrophic consequences and would be much more likely than what was reviewed and studied almost half a century ago.
Yes, and so one of the important reasons to have you aboard today, Paula Maccabee, is to provide the context of the historical legacy that we're looking at. How did this get started? But I just want to remind listeners that, yeah, we've got a lot of numbers and pieces of factual information that as we discuss Milepost 7 today. But if you want to catch it again so you can clarify what you missed the first time, our interview will hopefully be rerun on this week's Saturday morning mix in the 10 to 11 a.m. timeframe. And we'll be archiving our conversation on the homepage at ktwh.org in the weekly roundup dropdown that you get from the programs tab on that homepage. Speaking today with Paula Maccabee, who is the lead counsel for Water Legacy, I have a number of questions, Paula, that get at some of the background of where we stand today. My understanding is that the DNR announced just in March of this year that they wouldn't require a full environmental impact statement, that an existing environmental assessment worksheet was sufficient for this project. Do I have that right?
Leo, that is absolutely correct. And as a matter of fact, it took several years of work by Water Legacy and other groups in the community to even get an environmental assessment worksheet. And we've been working on this since September of 2020, just to try and get the Department of Natural Resources to study not only what would happen if the dam failed, but study if there are safer alternatives that would protect human life and health in Beaver Bay and Silver Bay, as well as protect the ecology of Beaver Bay and Lake Superior. And DNR finally, in March 2024, simply said, we're not going to look at an environmental impact statement. We're not going to look at any alternatives to this expansion plan. And that's why we ended up at the Court of Appeals. We had come to the end of line.
Now, I don't ask you necessarily to try to paraphrase the arguments made by both the lawyers for the DNR and North Shore Mining, Division of Cleveland Cliffs that operates in Silver Bay, but as I understand it, they're largely saying that this is not an expansion of what was a plan and permitted dating back to the 70s, and that it is a heavily, if not regulated, monitored dam. They made the point that it might be among the most carefully monitored, but I'm not sure that that is really pertinent here. I mean, what it seems pertinent is for them to say that everything they're anticipating doing was already proposed and permitted back in the 70s. Can you speak to whether that holds true? Obviously, you don't see it that way.
Well, Leo, let me unpack all the things that you talked about. First of all, there is no dispute that this is a project. And so if it's a project, the first thing you have to find out, according to Minnesota rules, is it either an expansion or an addition of a project as it has been implemented? So all this question about what was planned before is sort of beside the point, because this project definitely is an expansion or an addition to what's there in place. And as a matter of fact, is even an expansion and an addition to what was contemplated back in 1975. So the first thing you look at is they're moving the railroad beyond the ultimate limit that was in the EIS 50 years ago. They're extending the dams themselves by over a mile and a half. The railroad is going to be more than 4 miles long. So there's no question at all that this is either an expansion or an addition to the existing dam. And then we look at it, what are they going to do? They're going to make it much taller. Dam 2 is going to be 85% taller. And that's the dam that if it collapsed would inundate Silver Bay. North Shore is also planning to put a great many more tailings in that basin. So if it collapsed, there would be more toxic taconite mine waste to dump down into the Beaver River, into Lake Superior, and on the communities that are downstream. So the reason we're asking for an EIS is because things have changed and because this is going to be a bigger dam, take up more space, and include more of those wet, fine tailings, which are the consistency of like wet talcum powder. And that's the kind of material that can liquefy and mobilize and result in extremely dangerous consequences for both people and the environment. And there's one other thing that you brought up is, how is this project different from what was studied in the EIS half a century ago? Now, environmental groups don't often give the agencies credit, but I really want to, because back in 1975, the state agencies, which included the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, and the Environmental Quality Council, they took this project very seriously. And they held a contested case hearing and got the best of experts available at the time. And what they concluded is that Milepost 7 was really not the best site. It was too dangerous because it was too close to Lake Superior. And it was also immediately above, on a hill, above two communities. And so what all the Minnesota State Agency said is, let's put this tailings waste someplace else further inland. And reserve mining at the time, in 1977, threatened that if they did not get the site they wanted for the tailings basin, they would go bankrupt. And at the time, they had more than 3,600 jobs. And so what the courts did is the courts agreed with reserve mining and threw out all of the efforts by the state of Minnesota to regulate and insist upon a less dangerous location. One more thing about the difference between then and now is at the time, even when they were studying this, both the state regulators and the federal regulators said, if you're even considering building a dam on this Mapo 7 site, so close to the lake and so close to people, you have to use a downstream dam, which looks kind of like a pyramid because all of the dam is resting on the ground. And that is the most stable kind of dam, and it takes the most material to build. And that's how the dam was initially constructed. But after reserve mining went bankrupt, even getting their way on the location, the Minnesota DNR allowed North Shore to use a different kind of construction method called upstream, where there are, every time the dam is raised, those new raises use just a tiny bit of material, and they rest on the fine tailings, the loose fine tailings themselves, rather than on the ground below. And so what has happened since 1975 is not only that we have all this history to know about the risk of dam failure, but the dam itself is using a method of construction that is much less safe, much less stable than what was contemplated a half a century ago.
It begs the question of, was there a conscious decision? Was there that was affirmed in the courts? Or how was that allowed to just shift from what had been prescribed and assumed would be the mode of operation, that they'd always have downstream dam construction, to that switch that you said that North Shore wanted and it was delivered to them that they could switch? Didn't that almost require an environmental impact statement to say we're going to fundamentally change from the technology that we approved this operation for in the first place?
Leo, that's a really good question. In fact, not only was there no environmental review, there was no public notice to anyone when the DNR changed the rules of the game and allowed North Shore to build dam raises using a much less stable method of dam construction. That was done way back in 1997.
Okay.
And Water Legacy didn't know that this was true until we learned in 2020, the Army Corps of Engineers gave a lot of notice when this project was first contemplated because it would affect wetlands. And as part of that process, a reporter for the Duluth News Tribune raised the question of, had the dam structure changed? Water Legacy went to the Army Corps, and under the Freedom of Information Act, we got memos documenting that that change had taken place in 1997 without any notice to the community and without any environmental review at all. And the reason we know about that is because of the Duluth News Tribune and because of the Army Corps providing that information under the Freedom of Information Act. And by now it's not disputed. DNR does not argue, but they sure as heck did not share it with us.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, I think I read that they described the process as unique of the way that the regulation is done here, that there is not exactly a permit to mine or a dam permit, but some kind of special issuance. I'm tying myself up trying to recall the details, Paula, but does that ring a bell, that part of?
Yes.
Okay.
You're not tying yourself up in knots.
Okay.
Actually, the DNR that tied itself up in knots, because they're claiming that a 1977 quote-unquote master permit is the same as a dam safety permit under Minnesota statutes and Minnesota rules. And it's not. And to be real clear, there was a requirement. It has been several decades now since there's been a requirement to have a dam safety permit. It was either 2007 or 2008 that all the rules for what that dam safety permit should require was adopted. And yet there is no dam safety permit, and that matters. And one of the reasons why it matters is a dam safety permit requires that someone who's trying to enlarge a dam demonstrate that the dam construction complies with current prudent engineering practice and environmental practice over the life of the facility. And there was never any requirement by DNR or by North Shore to make those findings, and there are no such findings in the record. And in many countries, having upstream dams or upstream dam raises is actually prohibited. It's against the law even to do it because of the concern about lack of safety and environmental damage.
In making the case for requiring an environmental impact statement, Were you allowed to bring in any expert testimony? It seemed what I observed happening in court was you presenting a summary, but I'm not sure whether you're allowed to have any new, currently technologically accurate assessments by leading experts about just that, about the danger, the risk of building on the upstream dam, you know, model.
Actually, when you have a Court of Appeals appeal, that's not the time when the expert evidence gets into the record.
Oh, okay.
But there were, Water Legacy and also MCEA, Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, we brought experts in seeking the initial environmental assessment worksheet and also in commenting that the environmental assessment worksheet that the DNR finally did, which didn't even address dam safety, was inadequate. And Dr. Steve Edmerman is an international expert on tailings dam safety. What he was saying is that this case really required an EIS, not just to find out what the harm would be if the dam were to fail, but to address safety issues that are in the record that have not been resolved. And those safety issues have to do with the upstream dam, but also with a particular foundation, the clay foundation under the dam, which creates a risk of what they call toe heave or toe uplift, which means that the dam can be destabilized by an excessive groundwater pressure. And it was North Shore's own expert back in 2009 that said all the dams failed to meet safety factors against this toe upheave. And Dam 1, which at the time, back in 2009, met safety factors at its current height, if it was built up to the height that is proposed with this dam expansion, it would no longer meet dam safety factors for what they call undrained slope failure, which means if the tailings are wet, it increases the risk that they're going to fail. And so what Dr. Emmerman contributed, yes, we had expert evidence, is that we had an expert who does work across the country and across the world in trying to make sure that mines are safe. And he said, this is not a recipe for safety and requires environmental review and a consideration of alternatives.
Right there, Paul McAbee, you referred to the company's own hired engineering consultant as giving them information about not favorable conditions for proceeding the way they were proceeding. Was that required to be put in the public record? How do we even know about the fact of that analysis being done?
DNR actually has been, I think, quite forthcoming in putting forward all this information.
Okay.
One of the things I want people to understand, and this is something that DNR repeatedly argued, and even the Attorney General's office argued for DNR in this appeal, is that DNR felt or said they felt that their hands were tied based on a 1977 decision with different facts and different science. And what Water Legacy is hoping to do with this litigation is not only protect Lake Superior from this particular risky dam expansion, but to communicate to the agencies that they need to have the authority, and Water Legacy will help them have the authority to keep us safe as human beings and to keep our environment safe. And the facts are completely different from 1977. We know that upstream dams are risky. There's an expert who's saying that the upstream dams are risky. And there's even been statistical analysis that shows that after 100 years, when a dam has been, since the dam is first constructed, the statistical probability of failure approaches 50%. So this is not a speculative or a rare situation, but it is a measurable probability that creates potential for significant environmental harm. And it's up to us now to make sure that that harm does not happen to the people of Silver Bay, the people of Beaver Bay, or that very important and fragile aquatic environment that is Lake Superior.
Thanks, Paula.